Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. You know, we hear the phrase all the time, a new year and a new you. I mean, you'll see it in advertising. You'll see it in coaching programs. You'll see it in gym membership commercials. There's something about the new year that symbolizes that special moment when old things are passed away and behold, all things have become new from 2 Corinthians 5:17. My guest today is the pastor of V1 Church in New York City, and he's written an e-book by the name A New Year and a New Me, which we will discuss today, and he's the host of the Mike Signorelli podcast. Help me welcome to the program, Pastor Michael Signorelli. Pastor Mike, thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Hey, Pastor. Thanks so much for having me on the show. I'm so excited.
Amen. And you know, the first question I always ask is this. Other than that brief bio that I just gave, tell us in your own words, who is Michael Signorelli?
Oh, man, what an existential question. I'm still working on that, to be honest, and the Holy Spirit's helping me along the way. Mike Signorelli is primarily a lover of Jesus, first and foremost. And then second to that, I'm a husband to Julie and a father to Everly and Bella. And then somewhere down the line, I'm the lead pastor of V1 Church here in New York.
Amen. Now, you have multiple locations for your church, right?
Yeah, you know, New York is a crazy environment. They say if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. And I'm originally from Indiana. I didn't know how true that statement was until I moved from the cornfields of Indiana to the skyscrapers out here in New York. We've launched three locations in the last 2.5 years. And for no other reason than people are hungry for God in this region. There's a lot of fake news that people in New York don't want Jesus, but I have not encountered that yet. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of people who desperately want to know the truth, and they're seekers, and they want to know Jesus. And we're living in that reality three locations later.
Three locations now. Wow.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And do you like bounce from, you know, like early service here, midday service, evening service, something like that?
Yes, I say that we launched the third location on accident. We kind of launched the first, my daughter said, she's 12 years old. She corrected me the other day. She's like, we pretty much launched the first and the third one on accident. But there's a demand. I always say that where there's a demand, there is a supply. And so, God has just met that demand in this region. So I bounce around from location to location. And sometimes I preach via video. We do a broadcast. Mm-hmm. And then we also really believe in raising up communicators in our church. So we have some phenomenal preachers that I'm working with to mold them and teach them and really raise them up. So it's all the above.
Amen. Amen. How long have you been pastoring at V1 Church? And when did you launch it?
Yeah, you know what? The church is going to hit 3 years of weekly services this Easter. So we have literally done all of this in 2.5 years.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, in my aviation training, I'm a private pilot. V1 represents basically decision time, when a pilot must make the go, no-go decision to abort takeoff or commit to flying the plane. What does the V1 stand for in your church name?
Okay, I love the fact that you've got a pilot's background. This makes this a little bit easier. But, and the quick version of the story is that when you have a big dream, and maybe somebody listening right now has a God-sized dream, and the way that you know that you have a God-sized dream is that it's not possible with your bank account. It's not possible with your circle of friends. You know, there's nothing in your life that can bring it to pass if you cashed everything in. And my wife and I had a God-sized dream in Indiana that we were going to launch a church in New York City Metro. And you just don't do that where I'm from. Most people that I knew had never even been to New York before, actually. And I was at the point where, you know, sometimes when you have a God-sized dream, people think you're crazy and that's okay. But then sometimes you can start to think you're crazy. And I got to the place where I'm like, God, I don't know if this is you. I don't know if I just saw too many Ninja Turtle movies and you know, Batman movies, and now I want to go to New York. I need to know that this is you, because anything that's born in the natural suffers natural death. But if it's born in the supernatural, it has supernatural provision.
Amen.
And I didn't want to be another guy just starting a ministry, starting a church, because I also believed in a high level of accountability and having a pastor who has a pastor type thing. And so I'm like, God, there's a lot of variables here. So long story short, we were at a conference, and in the parking lot before the conference started, I told my wife, I said, hey, you know, I think ministry, it's just so hard. Let me just get a job in corporate America. Let's get a vacation club with Disney. Let's live the middle-class lifestyle, you know. Let's stop struggling. Let's give up the dream for New York. And my wife actually stopped me and said, you know what, Mike, I'm not going to let you do that, because I do believe it's from God. Mm-hmm. And then we went into the conference, and the last speaker got up and he said, you know, I had a vision. I felt that there was someone here that before this conference started was in the actual parking lot trying to explain to their wife that they should give up their God dream. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit is saying that you are not to give it up. It's actually time for you to go V1. Well, I'm not a pilot, so I had no idea what it meant. But he began to explain that, you know, pilots, they calculate how much runway they have. And then when they go V1 in an airplane, that's their way of saying there's no turning back. This baby's going to fly. There's no plan B. If a tire blows out, if the engine fails, like, this thing's going to fly no matter what now. Yeah. And so I had to make a decision that for V1, I was going to go V1. And so I obviously was bawling my eyes out. I grabbed my wife's hand and I said, this is for us. We're going all the way now. And it wasn't but less than a year later, we had moved out and launched the church.
Wow. Wow. What a
yeah.
Hey, man. Yeah. I was speechless.
It's a crazy story.
Because what you said, you know, we talked a little bit before we started the recording about my background and you know, being recovering from surgery, and the Lord says start the podcast type thing. And I talked a little bit about the calling for the radio station. I fought that about the radio station. And I was at a minister's conference in Fort Worth, Texas. And this is several months after the surgery. I was still on crutches, but I went to the minister's conference. And I'm sitting in the audience, and I don't even remember who the speaker was. But one of the speakers is just before lunch. I do remember that. It was like 11:30 in the morning. And the speaker got there and said something. I'm fighting the Lord here. You know, we talked a little bit about that, about the calling for the radio station. I'm like, And the speaker said, you know, whatever the Lord calls you to do, he's going to provide for it. He could call you to start a radio station, and you don't know how to call it. You needed it. And it was like someone leaned over to me and said, I told you to do this.
Wow.
And it was so loud to me. I turned around to see who said it, and there was nobody sitting there. Right. And that so impacted me that when they finally went on lunch break, everybody went next door to have, you know, the buffet lunch. I went out to the car and called my wife and said, you believe what just happened. So what you just said is, I had that flashback of when that happened to me with the radio station. Brother, I'm 100% in with you on this. I mean,
wow.
That's
amazing. I'm so encouraged by your story. I love hearing these stories, because, you know, as a pastor, people ask me all the time, how do I discover my purpose? You know, and what I see in scripture is oftentimes your purpose comes looking for you. And the real question is, are you going to be obedient to what the Lord keeps already telling you to do? You probably already know it. You just got to do it.
Yeah, I'm reminded of you know, Elijah going to Ahab saying, you know, it's not going to rain till I say so. You know, and he's God knew it. And God didn't put his arm around him and say, good job, boy, man, just go on home now, kick back, have a lemonade. You know, you did what I told you to do. No, he told him, run. Go hide out there to Book Cherith, and your provisions out there. Now, Elijah could say, I'm not going, I'm not leaving my family, I'm not leaving my house and my comfort and all that. I'm not going to do that. And he could have stayed there and dealt with the consequences, as I was explaining what I was doing with the calling to come to Baltimore. But his provision was out there. His provision was, there. He said, I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. It was his place called there. How did he know where to go? Well, he probably walked out until he seen some bread falling on the ground and, you know, a brook right there. So, and notice when the drought came and everything was drying up, even the brook dried up, he did not move.
Come on.
He stayed right there until the Lord came to us. Okay, now I've commanded a widow woman to take care of you over there. His new provision was over there. That was his place called there. When you moved from Indiana to New York City, God said, this is where your provision is. It's going to be there in New York City. Just like with us, it was Baltimore. I did not want to go to Baltimore, period. Yeah. No. And everything dried up around me. And he said, your provision is over there. And even though I don't really like Baltimore, if I had my decision in the matter, I'd pack up and move to Texas in a heartbeat. But, you know, when I retire, people say, are you moving back to Texas? No. Why? I thought you didn't like it here. Well, I don't really, but this is my place called there. And until the Lord says move, I'm staying right where he says I'm supposed to be. And the blessing's been here. Just as it's been a blessing to you in New York City. I mean, brother, I mean, we're connected on so many levels here.
I know. Well, and it's funny, too, because let's just be honest. I mean, the East Coast is more expensive than the Midwest, you know. And it's funny because people always tell me, I don't know if I could go to Ukraine to do ministry. We do ministry in Ukraine, or I go to Colombia. And I tell them, I say, listen, the safest place on the planet is in God's will. I mean, you literally could like walk out your front door outside of God's will and something can happen, but I can go to the most dangerous parts of the world and I'm safer there knowing that that's God's will for my life. And same thing with provision. It's like, you know, we're not rich by any means, but like you said, the provision's here in New York, and it kind of is scary to think about what would have happened if I stayed in Indiana.
So, yeah, exactly. Amen.
That's what really scares me. Now I'm more scared to be outside of God's will.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Now, by planting a church in New York City, what were some of the difficulties that you went through in doing that and planting a church in New York City?
You know, I'm going to tell you like this. I've thought about that question a lot. So in the Bible, you have Joshua and Caleb, and they go out to spy out. You know, they send out spies, and, you know, Caleb comes back, obviously, and says, we can do it. You know, I see the giants, but I also see the size of the grapes. There's provision there. And I've always had a different spirit. The Bible says that Caleb had what was called a different spirit, which meant he just had another perspective. He had another view of things. And for me, to be honest with you, I think part of the reason why God brought me to New York was because I was, I don't want to say dumb, but just ignorant, you know. And sometimes God can do more with your ignorance than he can with your intelligence. Yeah. And what I mean by that is a lot of the pastors and ministers here that had been living here their whole life had built up this big list of things God can't do here. And when I showed up, I was pretty much dumb and ignorant. And I just said, I just started doing stuff. And I think my biggest difficulty was a lot of those guys trying to help me by telling me what God couldn't do. It's almost like that when Saul put the armor on David and said, hey, you know, you're probably going to die fighting Goliath, but at least wear my armor and then you'll have a chance. And right. I almost think that there are a lot of other gurus and people out here who said, well, at least let me tell you what's not going to happen and set a healthy expectation. And just in all fairness to them, they had seen so many other churches fail here, and they had seen so many other pastors go back, you know, to wherever they were from. So it's not like it was a lack of data. I just think that there was a special grace on our lives and what we were doing with B1 Church. And so my biggest difficulty was mental more than it was anything else. And, you know, just to be honest with you, it's like we've launched locations just because we keep running out of seats. But ironically, in New York City, there's just not a lot of affordable big venues. Mm-hmm. So I've had to really just ask myself, like, all right, God, this has got to be a spirit-led journey. There is no playbook out here. And then I tell our church all the time, I say, I have no idea what I'm doing. I say, as long as we can all agree that none of us really know what we're doing, and we just, we experiment. We're, if something doesn't work, we ditch it. If it does work, we don't stay so connected to it that we do it that way forever. We just stay agile, because this is a journey with Jesus, and a journey is one step at a time. So that's kind of what we're doing right now. But that's been, some of our challenges. It is super expensive. It is, all that's true, but there's provision for that, and God opens the doors, you know?
Yeah, amen. Amen. Now, your background includes time as a traveling musician. Tell me about that background and how it's helped you to prepare for your role as pastor.
Yeah, you know, I started pastoring as an associate pastor when I was 22, turning 23. And so I've been a pastor for a while now, but I always looked at myself as, I used to call it a musicianary. And what I meant by that was, I would go into different regions and I would play music, but I try to minister the gospel as well. So I'm like a missionary who's a musician. I'm a musicianary. And I really thought that that was like my primary calling. And now I laugh at it. You know, ironically, I've never led worship at my own church, which is funny. And there's people who didn't know that that was part of my life, but it helped me because, you know, when I would play in these different regions of the U.S. or overseas, I experienced a lot of challenges. So I would go to Latin America or Eastern Europe, and I had to constantly solve problems in order to be able to perform. And I think that it was like, in a way, God just sort of preparing me for New York City to be a lead pastor, because I was basically I was getting good at being a problem solver. And so I tell our church all the time, I cashed in like 10 years plus of touring on New York City, because we're in a perpetual tour now. It's like we go into a venue, set up, do a service, tear down. Yeah. And, you know, now we have a couple hundred plus people who help me do that every week, which is insane. Amen. So, yeah, God used it.
Yeah, amen. When I first left Bible school, graduated from Bible school, my first job was with a guy by the name of Dr. Vernard Johnson. He was known as the world's greatest gospel saxophonist. And I had this vision of, you know, holding meetings and, you know, just evangelistic meetings and all that. And when we first started doing that, you know, it was amazing. People stayed away by the thousands. So I decided, well, marketing. I'll ask, Dr. Johnson was a friend of one of my board members. Funny story there. He was coming to Killeen. We lived in Killeen, Texas at the time. He was coming there to do a benefit concert. And my friend said, hey, he's coming down to Killeen. You should go see him. I said, well, I have an appointment that night, but I'll come over there when I'm done. I said, what's the dress? He goes, yeah, just come as you are. So after my appointment, he said, now, you know, he was, Dr. Johnson is from the Church of God in Christ. It's, you know, predominantly African American. And he said, you know, I'll be there. I'll save you a seat. I said, okay. He said, look around. He said, I'll probably be the only white guy there, but, you know, find me and I'll have a seat next to me. I said, okay. So I showed up after my appointment in a white polo shirt and blue jeans. It's a black tie affair. And I look around and they're saying, you know, where are you? I said, well, I'm looking for, you know, so-and-so. And then I look up and he's up on the platform. Dr. Johnson is talking up on the platform. And my friend is seated as like one of the guests of honor up on the platform. And there's a seat right next to him. He, you know, Dr. Johnson stops in the middle of his speech and says, oh, here's the other guy we're waiting for. And every head in the place turns to look at the door. And I look at my friend. He just goes with a big smile on his face and taps the seat next to him like, here's your seat. Oh, man. But, Dr. Johnson hit it off. And I got thinking, when I'm doing ministry, I'm going to have this big concert and I'm going to put it on, you know, for him. And then I'll just speak at the concert. And that's what we did. And Dr. Johnson was so impressed with the organization of the concert that I put together. He hired me after Bible school to be his national concert coordinator, basically his manager. Right. So for a year, I worked with them for 2 years, but in 1 year we did 48 concerts and 48 songs. And, you know, I learned so much about putting together these events and stuff like that, that, you know, when I left him and started pastoring, well, first assistant pastor at churches and things like that, it was basically as the assistant pastor. And then in a little larger churches, I took over the special events pastor because of the background I had. And when we opened our own church here in Baltimore for a couple of years, we did the same thing you were doing, you know, going in, setting up, tearing down, you know, outloading, you know, so you're doing the whole thing yourself.
Yeah.
You know, when I became a cop, I could no longer do all the functions of a pastor. So we merged with another church, but brother, I relate to everything you said.
Wow. That's such an incredible story though.
I can understand everything you're talking about. It's a, you know, I mean, it's not show up at church at 10 o'clock. You're showing up at 8 o'clock and setting everything up and the chairs and making sure the sound system works. And then, you know, when it's done, everybody leaves. Now it's time to load everything back up in the truck again.
So, yeah. Right. Well, and I think for people listening, it's an adventure. I think following Christ, it should be an adventure, you know. And that's what, you know, when you ask, like, what I learned, I remember in 2012, I came out to do a tour and it, you know, Hurricane Sandy just hit New York City. They were actually rationing gas out to where you couldn't even get as much gas as you wanted. You'd get whatever they rationed, and homes were destroyed. You know, power grids were shut down. So that's when I came out to, and I came out, I actually packed a chainsaw and an acoustic guitar. And I told God, I said, you know, I'm going to chop down tree limbs or whatever debris I can and help out the relief teams. And then I'm going to play music and just try to help people emotionally and spiritually. Well, when I got into New York, you know, I found that what people wanted more than the chainsaw was the guitar, because they were like, hey, you know, we have food and water and basic necessities, but it's our mind that's wrapped, you know, because our whole life was devastated because of the storm. Yeah. And then I ended up getting to play this Rosie O'Donnell benefit show, which was hilarious because, you know, it's a completely secular show. Mm-hmm. And so anyways, somehow or another, they found out that I came all the way from Indiana. So they're like, you came from 1,000 miles away. We want to give you the headliner spot. Oh. Well, I'm not that good, you know? And this is New York City, so it's like every act that's going up is killing it. You know, they're singing perfect pitch. They're playing songs everyone knows. Everyone's bonding. And it's a secular event. And so I thought to myself, man, what am I going to do? And then I have this like Johnny Cash kind of rebellious thing in me sometimes. So I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go up there and I'm going to sing that old hymnal, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. Oh, and at the Rosie O'Donnell benefit show, because I said, you know, I said, I can't be better than these other acts on the bill, but I said, I'm here to bring the gospel. I mean, that's why I came. Man. And I didn't expect to get this show. So anyways, I said, I'm just going to go up there. If they turn the mic off or that big cane comes and they, you know, hook me off the stage, then at least I'll have this epic story of how I sang Nothing But the Blood of Jesus in New York City during Hurricane Sandy and got kicked off stage. That's still a good story, you know? So anyways, I got up on stage and I started singing that song. And I'm telling you, the whole place got completely silent. And the Holy Spirit started to invade that bar. It was like a bar venue in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And people, tears started rolling down people's face. It was a supernatural event. And then afterwards, even the sound guy said, hey, I'm a Catholic. I haven't been to church in years and years, but something happened when you were singing up there. You know, can you tell me more about what I experienced? And I led him to Christ after that show. And so, you know, I think that even prepared me to look at where God can be and where, you know, it's like a lot of times we think, well, God can only move in the church, but it's like when you get a revelation of this, even Walmart's not the same, you know, Target, like anywhere you are, it's like that's church for that time if you'll let God use you. And so with V1, we're in a movie theater, we're in a music video venue on our Sunday nights where they do rap videos during the day and then we roll in and we do church at night. You know, it's like, yeah. God's spirit can break out anywhere, you know, and we learn that.
Amen. Amen. Hey everyone, Pastor Bob Thibodeau here. We are all out of time with today's episode where I've been interviewing Pastor Mike Signorelli of the V1 Church in New York City. Now, when I first seen that his church was called V1, the first thing I thought about was my aviation training as a private pilot. Understand that V1 is decision time. That's what it stands for in pilot lingo. V1 is at the point where the pilot has to take the plane into the air. Anytime before they reach V1, they can go ahead and hit the brakes and they have enough runway left or they can come to a complete stop. But as he's approaching V1, he has to look at all of the signs, all of the indicators, all of the instruments, and make the decision, do I have everything I need in order to take off? And if the answer is no on anything, he has to make the decision before reaching V1 to hit the brakes. Once he goes past V1, he is committed to taking off. And folks, when I seen that his church is called V1, that's the first thing I thought of. I said, what a great name for a church, because people have to understand, they have to be able to read the signs, read the indicators, and make the decision prior to the point of reaching V1, whether or not they're going to go to heaven or go to hell. Now, you need to come back tomorrow and join us. We conclude this interview because it is awesome. Michael Signorelli is just sharing great things with us. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.